We'll start. When I say the word guardian, what is it that you think of? In my mind, I guess I think of a knight in shining armor with a huge broadsword standing on a drawbridge protecting a castle. Maybe you think of a Navy SEAL with a child in its arm running from danger, the assault rifle on his back. Guardians. Whatever you thought of, it probably wasn't what Paul was writing about when he wrote these words in Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you catch it? What the guardian is that Paul is talking about? Peace. The peace of God is what will guard us, what will be our guardian. Almost seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? The peace of God will fight to defend us, will protect us from all harm. Well, what kind of peace is Paul talking about here? People are always seeking earthly peace in our world. They hold fundraisers and they ring bells in order to raise money to increase world peace. There's world peace organizations. There's a countrywide court system made to uphold peace in our country. Does it work? People have been striving for earthly peace as long as there have been people, but look at our world. It's becoming more and more evil every day. Yesterday, the man who was responsible for the Boston bombings the Boston Massacre was found guilty. Last night, a group of U.S. soldiers were ambushed in Afghanistan, and one man died and seven were injured. Evil. There's more and more evil in the world. And how can we say that God's peace is protecting us when things like this happen? This question is something that you will face often in your life. How can a God of love and peace let these things happen? This is a question that maybe even you yourself will wonder. And the answer is, we're not talking about worldly peace. We're talking about the peace of God. We're talking about the peace that the angels brought news about on that first Christmas. We're talking about the peace that we get this time of year during the Easter season from Jesus' resurrection. We're talking about spiritual peace. Speaking to his disciples, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And he gives us peace as well, peace with God. Now how can this be? Because from birth we were all natural enemies of God. We were at war with him, not at peace. Well, because of what Jesus did, what we just studied about during the Lenten season, his active and passive obedience. God now no longer looks at us as having disobeyed the law. He sees Jesus' righteousness in our stead. He sees Christ's redemptive act. But what is the opposite of peace? If you ask a lot of people that question, they'll probably tell you war is the opposite of peace. And from a broad perspective, that is true. But what about in your daily life? What is the opposite of peace on the small scale? Well, probably things like worry, things like testiness, anxiety. These things can prevent us from having peace in our day-to-day lives. Now, it's important that we distinguish between that peace, the peace of our day-to-day lives, and the peace of God. Worry and anxiety can disrupt our daily lives, but our feelings and our emotions cannot affect that peace that we have with God. The peace of God is based on what Christ already did. It is done and over. We have peace with him. But Paul here does warn against worry and anxiety. These things are just symptoms of the larger disease, the disease that is the lack of trust in God. We have peace with God, and because of that Christ-given peace, God promises to work everything for our good because we are those called according to his purpose. That means that God will provide for us. That means that he will keep our souls in his care. That means that he will not test us beyond what we are able. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it, keeping these anxieties out of our lives? We worry about all kinds of things. We worry about our paper that's due next hour. We worry about finding work this summer, maybe getting a paycheck to pay for school. We worry about our relationships, maybe a special someone we're having problems with, maybe our best friend we're arguing with. We worry about the government. We worry about politics. Worry, worry, worry. And wear a person out. How can we possibly avoid all this worry? And the answer Paul gives us in verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray to God. It's as simple as that. If a little child wants something, they go to their parents and ask them. It's the same thing with us. God wants our Heavenly Father to present our wants, our wills, our desires to Him just as children do. The book of James tells us, you do not have because you do not ask. How many gifts is God waiting to give you? But He just hasn't yet because you haven't asked for them. Let your requests be made known to God. But notice the qualifier. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. When I look out into the bleachers, I see a plethora of talents and gifts and abilities and smiles. I look at you and I see so many gifts that God has given you. Abilities, talents. Thank God for those talents and abilities and opportunities that He's given you. And when we do that, when we reflect on our talents and our abilities that He's given us, then we're able to truly know that how good God has been to us. And so we'll know that however He answers us will be to our good, because we've seen it in the past in our lives. He is answering according to His will, and so He's answering according to our good. This is how we get rid of worry in our lives, through prayer. This great guardian, the peace of God that He gives us, that He protects of our hearts and minds. And how does He do it? Well, it's amazing, isn't it? The human mind is a sinful place. Even though we've been assured of our salvation, we come up with all kinds of reasons to doubt God, reasons to worry, reasons for anxiety. Can God really save a sinner as bad as me? Can my Savior really be true God and true man all at the same time? How can there be three persons in one God? How can God have really made the whole universe in 6 days? All the evolutionists say it took billions of years. Our thoughts try and try to find reasons to doubt God. But the peace of God, the great defender of our minds and protector of our hearts, when doubts enter our mind, the peace of God swoops in and reminds us of what God says in Isaiah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And thanks be to God that those thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Because from those thoughts came the perfect plan of salvation that was brought to fruition and carried out through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The peace of God assures us, that is assured to us through Scripture, is the strongest weapon that we have against the threats of the devil, the world, and our flesh, that all try to cause that worry and anxiety. The peace of God is greater than them all. And because of this peace, we now have confidence, we have hope, that someday we will experience that eternal peace of body and soul for eternity with our Father in heaven. Oh God, give us peace. Give us your peace. Amen. We sing this morning in 192, verses 3, 7, and 8.